Father, I just truly do thank you for those who showed up tonight to sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, we are looking for something supernatural to happen in this service. We are tired of the same old, same old. And Father God, we want you to fall upon us in a way that we will be changed totally and completely, never, ever, ever to go back to our old lifestyle. And Father God, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you who brought the light. I thank you for your holy angels, Father God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who spreads the light. And Father God, we just give this all to you right now. We rest in your arms, Holy Spirit. And each one of us individually in this sanctuary tonight, we say, take control of my life. Change me, rearrange me, any way God is telling you to do. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is going to be being the light. So before the fall of communism in the early 1990s, the Albania government took God out of the dictionary. This nation that was once so close to the gospel is now open to missionaries and allows full religious freedom. Why? God brought his light into that country. Amen. When we was overseas, you know, they had that little wall between, you know, Russia and God told me one time when I was standing there, he said, this wall will disappear one day. And I forgot how many years later, but it did disappear. Kenneth Copeland prophesied the wall was going to fall, and it fell. Why? Because God sent his missionaries in there with the light of the gospel, and it changed everything. So you are all missionaries with the light of the gospel within you. And wherever God sends you, you're going to change everything in that area. I want you to always remember that. Communism is trying to take a foothold in America. God's light, his word, and his presence is being snuffed out by the evil darkness. That is why God is teaching us the extreme importance of his children being lights in a dark, dark, overly dark atmosphere. If you don't know that that's the reason why we're having all the evil in America, then you've been blinded, because we have, you know, the church as a whole has set Jesus out of the church. They want to do their thing their way, and don't you tell me how to live. And therefore, they just pushed God right out of their lives, right out of the church. And now what God is doing, because we truly are working on the second coming of Jesus Christ. We really are. You young kids, you should get excited, because you are the ones that God's going to use to bring Jesus Christ back the second time. And you're going to step into the wonderful things that, us forerunners have been battling through to make a way for you all to go ahead and just march right on through there. And, you know, and be all happy and everything else, and just enjoying what we did for you. And that's a good thing. That really is a good thing. You really don't want to have to go through what we went through for y'all to come in and bring in this great harvest. All right, then. This is what God, you know, when I said communism is trying to take a foothold in America, I called Chris and I said, is it communism? What is it trying to? And he said, you're right, because this is what I was feeling my spirit to say. And then he said, the Father of all lights needs vessels of honor that he can pour his never-ending light into. And he's telling me, he said, daughter, I am working overtime to get these vessels of honor that I can pour my glorious light into. So, you know, God is working 24/7 on each one of us in here tonight, or anybody listening, getting us prepared for this glorious light. All right? And really, we're so dumb. They've been working on us for 5 years. He gave us that scripture about 5 years ago, right? It's time we sort of understand what's going on. All right, John 1:1-9 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man. All right, so this was talking about Jesus, all right? Then it says, then the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, those who don't know Jesus did not understand. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not the light, but God sent him as a forerunner before Jesus to prepare the way for Jesus. They were both born around the same time, right? But John the Baptist prepared the way for the first coming of Jesus. All right, so this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. Now, see, I want you to, and Deanna brought this out this morning. You know, I want you to understand, John the Baptist was full of the Spirit in his mother's womb. He was born full of the Spirit, but he also suffered. He went into his ministry, but the ungodly people came against him constantly. And finally, the way he died was because that little whatever her name was, wanted his head cut off and put on a platter sent to her because John the Baptist told her right in front of everybody, you're committing adultery. And she did not like that. So she had that little Jezebel, had his head put on a platter. And that's how he died, got his head cut off. But he was, when he was in the womb, already anointed. And so, you know, some of us were already anointed in the womb to do the works we're doing now. And the enemy's been after us all along, trying to steal, kill, and destroy this anointing that God placed in us before he placed us in a womb. All right? I've told you this before, but I want you to understand this. My mother said to me, out of the six children I had, my pregnancy with you was so different. And when you were born, it was so different. The whole labor, everything was so different. And you've always been different. Not a bad difference, but she said, you were never like my other five children. So you see what that was. The anointing in the womb, when it came forth, was not like a child that didn't have the anointing in the womb. So some of you need to understand that you were already had the anointing in your mother's womb, well, before you got placed there. But when I came out, I had a grandmother. Well, my mother and father believed in God too, but she immediately started taking me to church, and I've been going to church all my life. But she got me in church, and the devil had no place in me. He never had a chance to get a hold of me. Are you understanding that? But now, if you have godly parents who don't understand the things of God, and they weren't raising you up, taking you to church the way they should have, then the enemy had full sway over your life, you know, all right? And God told me one time, he said, you know, when my children are born, the devil's on one side, and I have a holy angel on the other side, and it depends who gets a hold of the heel, which way you go. And when God, I think God has to be in that too. If not, that could be really scary. And God knows who's going to get a hold of your heel. I mean, sometimes these are deep things, but they're things you have to know to understand what you're going through when you're walking with God. All right? All right, then Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest, how? By the light. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that brings out the darkness and exposes people for what they are. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, and I was sitting here studying, you know, after I watched Deanna, and I said, God, we're really dumb. We are the dumbest sheep I've ever run across. You gave us that scripture, the light has come. And, you know, we read about the light, but we never put any importance in the light. At least I didn't. I just knew the word said the light was there and Jesus was the light. But I never understood the importance of what it means, really means to us. I know some of you are going to, so you agree with me. So I don't feel too bad. I'm not alone up here. Amen. All right, Revelation 22:5 promises that those who dwell with the Lord forever, will not need other sources of light because God himself will be our light. In James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And I notice for about at least, I know 2 years, maybe three, every time, sometimes when I prophesy, I'll say the Father of lights. Or whenever he gives me a prophetic word, he'll say the Father of lights. And I think, why do you say the Father of lights? See, it still didn't dawn on me that God's trying to get the importance of the light to me. All right? Now, God is the Father of lights because he himself is light. He is a creator of light and the personification of all that is light. God is light and he dwells within light. So God is nothing but light. And we say, I love Jesus, but we walk in darkness. So that's not true. You don't love Jesus. You might like him a little, but you haven't learned enough of him to really, really fall deeply, totally, and completely in love with him. There is a difference. You know, and you know, it takes a few years for you to understand the importance of that statement. You know, we walk around and say so many dumb things that we don't even understand the fullness of, don't we? But God wants us, he showed me today, he's going to make sure we know the fullness of everything we speak from now on. All right? Light is not comprehended by darkness. In other words, what we do, the world can't understand what we do. They think we're all nuts. You know, and we think the same about them, right? So light is not comprehended by darkness. Darkness is confused and repelled by light. Are you listening here? The light challenges the darkness, and the darkness will flee. In other words, the light in you, the light of Christ in you, when the darkness comes after you, you'll challenge that darkness, and the darkness has to go because the light of God within you is so strong, it'll destroy that darkness. You know, if you're really, truly following God, walking in holiness and righteousness, the enemy knows that, and he comes, because God told me, he said, the enemy can do anything he wants to do to you except kill you. So, you know, I've already told you that. You have to get that on number one priority here. But he can't kill you. And if you don't know that, he can just take you through hoop after hoop after hoop. But if you know that he can do all that dumb, that's why God told us to study Job. You know, what happened with Job. And if you get in there and study Job and see what he did to Job, see what he did to Paul, see what he did to Peter. You know, he's going to do the very same to you. And he does all that. One time I was going through a terrible time. And I said, God, what is this? He said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And I had to let him sift you. And that's in the word. That's how I really learned my word, is by God telling me. You know, and then I'd look it up. And so if you're going through a terrible time, it's because the enemy is trying to destroy you. And he's asked God's permission to sift you in heaven. Only knows where he's going to sift you, how he's going to sift you. Are you listening here? Walking with God is not a 100% la, la, la walk. It just is not. And you'll, if you really think that, you'll find out that's not true. All right, so I said the light challenges the darkness and the darkness will flee. As we walk in him, in God, the light of his presence in us displaces the darkness that is in our arena. In other words, all around about us, our light will destroy that darkness. Wherever we walk, we should dispel the darkness just because we are there. Are you listening? That is an actual fact. And people might not say that to you. You know, there's, when you get around me, I just feel funny or I feel different. That's because the light in you is stopping the darkness that's in them from coming against you. All right. When I was first saved, God told me that every place I place my foot becomes holy ground. That means there is light wherever I walk. All right. So every time we take a step, we should proclaim light, light, light. And I'm saying that because whenever God brought that, I said, light, light, light. And I walked around my study, you know, because I'm dispelling the darkness. See, we're so dumb. This light is a weapon that we are not using. It's another weapon, all right? Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's why God says, get into the word. And once you know, understand the word, then darkness has to go. Light is a great weapon of warfare. This light forms a path before us as we walk. The light is the living reality of Jesus Christ, which is the word of God. God's word is filled with light, and now is the time we need to grasp hold of this revelation. All right, God's word is filled with light. What is the light? The Bible is our roadmap, right? And no matter what we're going through, if we get into the word, there's something in there that tells us how to walk that path. So that's the light. It's revelation to us. Okay, so this happened to Paul. This is what Paul did. So I'm going to do what Paul did. You know, that type of thing. And see, if you don't have that roadmap, if you don't know your word, and really true to what God does with me when we're talking, he always tells me, read so-and-so. He tells me what scripture to read. And sure enough, it's always exactly what I'm asking him. And that I don't have any questions because right there it is. It's before my eyes. All right. Merlin, every time I look at you, God said stature, and he said your stature is going to change until you become not a light, but a beacon to the men that you run and get in contact with. And I just see you when you walk into the room, the whole room lights up, and people's heads are going to turn, and what they're looking at is Jesus Christ coming through the door. That's how strong the light is going to be in you. Saying that, remember the story I told you about going to the funeral of my aunt? And I walked in, I opened the door and walked into the funeral home, and everybody got real quiet. And they said, who just came into the room? And I walked over to my daddy. My daddy said, they call me Jimmy. That's Jimmy, my daughter. And they said, Jimmy, that's her? I mean, they knew me, but everything in the room stopped. Nobody talked. I felt stupid, really. I had to walk in the door, clear over to where the casket was at, you know. But now I know what happened. There was a lot of darkness in there, and I walked in the door. Jesus walked in the door with me, and the light went in too. And the darkness had to stop. It took notice. Are you understanding all this? Do you understand how important your vessels really are? You know, we're just not a piece of meat walking around with bones underneath it. We are important individuals, important vessels for God to use. And I'm going to tell you, people got saved while that funeral was, you know, while I was there for their funeral. It was the light. It wasn't me. All right, we need light. Yeah, we need light to see. But when our eyes are adjusted to darkness for a long period of time, light can actually make it harder to see. I'm going to explain this. Eyes that have adjusted to the darkness over the course of the night squint in pain in the presence of sudden light. You know how parents come and say, get up, it's time to get up. They open up the curtains, you know, and you're there trying to get your eyes. This is what Gabriel does, getting your eye, trying to adjust your eyes. Well, this is what happens, right? And that's why if you've been walking in darkness for a long time, when the light comes, you're going to have a hard time getting yourself from the darkness to the light. But don't quit, because you do get there. I believe that a similar problem confronts those who are still walking in spiritual darkness when they try to understand God. And a new convert is trying to do exactly that, understand God. They're trying to understand what is going on with life, why is this changing, why is this happening. There's so many things going on, and that's why you need somebody spiritual who's truly spiritual to mentor you and to lead and guide and direct you so you can explain to them what's really going on. I was fortunate God didn't want man to teach me, so he gave me the Holy Spirit to teach me all things. That's a better, that's who you say, God, let the Holy Spirit mentor me. Amen. The brightness of God's glory, the totality of his justice, and the breadth of his grace are not visible to eyes unaccustomed to looking at light. That is why when we first opened this church, people said I was of the devil. Because we were doing miracles, and they weren't, and that they were in darkness. They weren't in the spirit. They weren't in the light. So they had to come against the darkness. They had to come against the light. And then it was the light in me that had to do its work to break down that darkness. All right. A lot of people always tell me I don't go to pastors' meetings anymore. I quit that because it became nothing but flesh talking to flesh. But, you know, pastors say, we really do like you, but we don't like the way you preach. You know, well, I preach the word. All right. Because they are accustomed to walking around in darkness, they cannot imagine that there are whole worlds of understanding and answers that are only visible in the light. There are no shadows in the light. Shadows are formed by a mixture of light and darkness. We are either walking in the light with power or walking in the darkness with no power. Say that again. We're either walking in the light with power or walking in the darkness with no power. In Isaiah 60, for all you have been sitting here all these years, up there on the wall, says, arise, God told us that day. Remember, I said, let's make a scripture because he told us that. Arise, shine. He said, arise, get up, and then shine. Just don't get up, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So the glory's been, and God told me the glory's always been here. I just didn't bring the miracles with it. And we're running around here just reading that scripture, thinking we're so, you know, and we don't even understand what that scripture's saying. Quit sitting and doing nothing. Get up. Let your light shine. And I used to teach about this little light of mine. Don't push it up, put it under a bushel basket. We didn't comprehend none of that. Don't tell me you did, or we wouldn't be thinking this is so wonderful right now. All right. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, which it is, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over who? You, Lighthouse Church. And his glory will be seen upon you. We've spent 5 years just being dumb. See, we for 5 years, I think we should have been walking in miracles. Because God told us 5 years ago that there it was. God, and Nancy said, we need to do that there, right there. I said, see, she's been in her word. And now the light is shining. All right, God is calling us out of the shadows tonight. Because the shadows are very dangerous. Because the shadows contain mixture and compromise. We need to get in the total light of Jesus no matter what the cost. You can't compromise. Why am I having trouble in my home? Because without knowing it, I started compromising how I run my house. Because everybody said, oh, you're a hypocrite. I thought I had to just bear with everything they were doing to be a good light for them and be a loving vessel. And that was not true. That was the devil making me believe that. And I compromised how I run my house. Now I have to take my house back. And do you know how hard that is? So don't ever compromise. You won't have to worry about taking it back. When a person becomes a Christian, he or she has to get used to seeing by God's light. It may feel more comfortable to fumble around in the darkness as you've always done, because the light is painful. When God starts taking that darkness out of you, that's a mess, isn't it? But if the born-again babies persevere, they will find that there is more to see in the light than they ever imagined. And I wrote it like that because I thought, you know, you don't know all the stuff till you get born again. Then after you get born again, then all this stuff starts being thrown at you, you know. And that's why I said, if the born-again babies persevere, you have to keep on going. You can't stop just because you don't understand. They will find that there is more to see in the light than they ever imagined. This is a charge Paul gave believers in Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness. Before you became born again, you might not have been a sinner, but you didn't understand the word either. You didn't even know Jesus spoke to you. At least I didn't. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So once you're born again, you're supposed to change. You know, and I knew somebody, and I always thought they were born again, you know, spirit-filled. I was at a meeting at a big church, and a prophet came up and said, do you know your husband isn't even saved? I said, oh. God, yes, Mary, somebody's not saved. Well, that was a little bit of a eye-opener for me. But then because God revealed it, then the light came in and started changing the darkness. In the coming days, we will know that we are walking on the path that God wants us because of the light that God places on that path. And let's read that again. This is important. In the coming days, we will know that we are walking on the path that God wants us on because of the light that God places on that path. At all costs, follow the light right through the darkness of this present age. God sort of put on me, in the coming days. This is why we're going through this light teaching right now. The light of the living word takes us right into places of great challenge, and yet this darkness does not understand this glorious light coming from a glorious church. People don't understand what we do here. They come here and they see what we do and they say, I don't think I want any part of that. And then they back off and stay in the darkness because they don't want the light. But they don't understand the light. And it's not that they don't want it, okay? I was just telling Christopher, I just read about Chuck Pierce tonight. They're having a great gathering honoring the light. So we're honoring the light too, because the light is increasing in us, and God is filling us to overflowing with his light, so that when we leave here, we won't just honor the light, we'll carry the light. Amen. One thing we must always remember is that the darkness is confounded and confused by the light. Always, just not some of the time. We need to hear by the Spirit, walk in the light as he is in the light, give up anything and everything that is tainted by the shadows of compromise and mixture, get in the light of his glory. There are so many times in life when we cannot understand where God is and why he seems to hide himself. The psalmist wondered the very same thing in Psalms 10:1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalms 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? How many of you have said that to God? You know. In such times, it is worth considering that our vision may be too weak to perceive God. In the same way the pain of light causes tired eyes to turn away, the pain of anguish may keep us from discerning God's presence in the face of suffering. And that does happen. Our inability to see and understand the ways of God is no evidence of his absence. Just because we can't see, we can't understand the ways of God, doesn't mean he's not with us. Yes, he promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Our inability to look directly at the sun doesn't negate the fact that it is there, sustaining everything that lives. You know, when you look up the sun, it's you can't see, right? 1 Timothy 6:16, he's the only one death can't touch. His light, so bright, no one can get close. He's never been seen by human eyes. Human eyes can't take him in. Honor to him and eternal rule. Amen. Paul wrote these words to Timothy, and maybe Paul was thinking of the first time he encountered Jesus, which left him literally blinded by God's light. Remember, when he's on the road, the light blinded him, and he stayed blinded for 3 days, wasn't it? And Exodus 33:20 says, but he said, "You can't." This is God speaking to Moses, but God said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. This scripture is believed to mean that seeing God's face would be so overwhelming that it would be impossible for a human to survive the experience. And you know, what God told us, the days of Ananias and Sapphira are coming into the church, you know, and they lied to the Holy Spirit and they were struck dead on the spot. And I told people that when God told me those days were coming back, but they have no fear of God. They keep right on sinning. And God even told me, a couple years ago, I can't bring the glory right now in this fullness because it would kill people. And I really believe now, I think what he meant was we didn't understand the light and the importance of the light. And so he brought the glory. We wouldn't know what to do with the light, with the glory, and we would mishandle it. I really do believe that's what God was trying to tell us. Kenneth Copeland said, for 70 years, a communist said there is no God. Then the Lord said there is no communism. And in a single year, the world changed more dramatically than in almost any other previous century. That was from just the smallest ray of light, from the impending dawn, the second coming of Jesus. question, what will the full dawn be like? We can be sure that every evil spirit, spiritual stronghold, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will crumble, regardless of how bold and desperate it may become for a while. And all this stuff going on in the government, God said, "But I'm going in there, and when I do, everything will be destroyed." He's going to take his light in there, and he's going to destroy that darkness that's in the lighthouse, the White House right now. Amen. I'm not concerned about what they're saying or doing, because God already told me he's going to wipe that place right on out. Everything that's dark and evil, he's taken out of there. It is also true that it gets darkest just before the dawn, and the coldest hour of the day is usually the one in which the sun rises. This is also the time when the love of many will grow cold, but the 1,000-year day in which the Lord will rule over this earth is coming as surely as the sun rises each morning. Jesus is coming back. I don't care what you say or think. My word tells me he's coming back. Question, what do you see, darkness or light? What do you feel, the coldness or the promises of the warmth? We are living in the times of greatest conflict between light and darkness, but the light will prevail. You know, look what's going on around about us, you know? Isn't it awful what's going on? I mean, and they just go out and kill each other and just do anything they want to do, you know, and no fear of God at all. God is going to prevail. Everybody's going to have to stand before God and be judged. We need to launch out tonight into that glorious light. Now then, God spoke this. My children, the glorious light is the greatest catalyst into the unknown realm of miracles. See what the glory is going to do? Without this glorious light, no miracles will occur. I am calling you totally out of darkness this night into my glorious light. I am sending you forth to persevere. I am sending you forth to preserve this lost and dying generation. See how important you are? I am sending you forth to preserve this lost and dying generation. This requires the glorious light of the kingdom of light. I am the Father of light, and I am now soaking you in that glorious light for all the world to witness the true heavenly kingdom. What did he say? I am the Father of light, and I am now, right now, soaking you in that glorious light for all the world to witness. And if you read about the Philadelphia church, it says there's going to come a time when Satan will come and sit at our feet and know that we were always belonged to God. So if you've been criticized and chastised and everything else, there's going to come a day when the enemy is going to sit at your feet or come to you and say, I'm so sorry that I said the bad things about you that I said. My true kingdom has got, this is God still speaking. My true kingdom has been tainted long enough. And now I'm going to show the church what the great I am is all about. I do not send you out powerless. You go fully endowed with power from on high to slay every giant in the land. Not just one or two, but every giant in the land. I have selected the very elite of my true church to go forth with pure light that will dispel all darkness. Are you all ready to go out there and, you know, just have street ministry, and anybody walks by you just goes slain in the spirit, and then they come to and they give their heart to Jesus? This is what's going to be happening. And God just can't use one person in our churches to teach you people how to walk in the spirit and God prophesy you to you and encourage you and tell you what he wants to do to you. And then when he gets you all prepared, he's going to send you out. He said, we'll always have a swinging door. In other words, he told me, you're going to be mentoring pastors. And you little people here don't know tiddly squat about nothing, come in. And then, you know, he tells you, he said, you're going to preach. And you look at me, is that right? You know, that's your first encouragement. I don't know nothing, and you're telling me I'm going to preach. That's our job here. All right. So what I thought was exciting was I have selected the very elite. That's wonderful. Of my true church. Then he goes on to say, you are my chosen. You are my chosen. He gave me this at 4:00. This is for y'all tonight, all right? You know, you look around and you see who's here. We have found this out. And what God speaks at that service is just for those people. If the other people came in, it wasn't for them. And so God just, he knows exactly who's going to be here every service, and he knows exactly what he wants to tell you. All right. All right, John said, you are my, God said, you are my chosen ones. You are the ones that will carry the glory light of my son, Jesus. Isn't that exciting? You're going to carry the glory light. You are in the center of all that I'm getting ready to accomplish with this end time harvest. You know, that was bragging what I just did. And that's what turns people off. So they turn me off. I'm not saying we're the top of the crop. I just know what God's called us to do. And why not let people, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do. And I know what God is going to do through me. We have all those things out there. I forgot what they say anymore. But everything we put out there, like that, what, you're entering the portals of heaven, the sign. You know, people look at that and say, who does she think she is? I know who I am. All right. They just don't understand that yet, but one day they will. Are you understanding this? People's going to put you down. When I was first born again and went to church and God gave me a scripture, it was in the Old Testament, and he said that that's talking about my son Jesus, and because I didn't know my Bible then, even though I read it, I didn't know it. And I went to my pastor and I said, God told me the scripture is talking about Jesus. You know, and she said, it does not. That is not what that's saying. And I said, well, yeah. I said, read. Oh, dumb me telling the pastor, read it. I said, see, you know that that's Jesus. Well, I was told to shut up and sit down. But, you know, that's just, God would just share. And now I understand why I was told to shut up and sit down is because they didn't have that revelation knowledge. And they were upset because a little nobody came in and God revealed that to them. Are you understanding this? You know, Marilyn, they might look at you and say, who does he think he is? When I was on the road evangelizing, I'd go to all these churches and I'd say, God, they've been having church for 50 years. And what can I possibly tell them? He said, you just go. I was surprised what they didn't know. And I was young in the Lord and I was surprised what I knew. But see, who knew that? The light, the Holy Spirit. And that's who spoke through me. All right. And he sent me there with a message. Each church was a different message. And every time afterwards, I think, you know, God was right on. Of course he was. So don't let people tell you you don't hear God's voice. Don't let people tell you that you're not right on with God, because you are. I don't care who you are. We're all important in the body of Christ. All right. So I said, God said, you're in the center of all that I'm getting ready to accomplish with this end time harvest. Where are you at? In the center. The greater work, then Jesus said, the greater works has come upon my church. And so I wrote down John 14:12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. That stuck out to me, so I emphasized that. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So everything you read in the Word in the red letters that Jesus did, you're going to be doing all that. Now, I still don't know what the greater works is. I'm not even going to pretend to know I do, because, and I even researched this again. But we don't care what it is. We're just going to go on and do what God's telling us to do, right? So, all that's said and done. How many of you want to be filled with it's a different light. It's a glorious light tonight. And I said, God, why do you keep saying glorious? He said, because that's the kind of light I'm going to give them tonight. I said, oh, okay. And I look up the glorious light. That's a great light. So if you want the glorious light, come on up to the altar.